Blog Talk Radio.
Shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Welcome everyone to Showtime Radio Time. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbit, broadcasting to you live in your sweet, beautiful ears, no matter how ugly you think they are. All right, let me just put this paper aside, because I was trying to do something before the show started, and then I realized, oh, I was about to be late for my own show. All right, so now that that's aside, how is everyone doing? I am actually... All right, I do have one more thing to do, just because I was trying to go through the history of my Vine to help me verify something, because I need to fill out a form. All right, I'm confessing here. I need to fill out a form to extend my homework deadline for Alps U. And if you're not familiar with Alps U, that's mainly because you have not been paying attention to my stuff with Special Olympics. If you're not familiar with my show at all and you're just now tuning in, I am an athlete for Special Olympics Missouri. I am also a representative. And with being a representative, I help give athletes a voice in certain matters, which is really cool. No, I'm not the actual head of the actual voice of athletes in the branch for Special Olympics Missouri Central Area. I'm not that person. There actually is someone for that. I don't remember his name, although I have met him a couple of times. He's actually really cool. I just can't remember his name for the life of me. Anyways, because I'm a representative for Special Olympics, last year I went to Indiana for Alps U, which is short for Athletes Leadership Program University. It was a lot of fun, and it was just for like a one weekend. That's how long the one semester is for Alps U, which is, in my honest opinion, it's not enough, but it seems to be enough considering not a lot of athletes have the mental capacity to do like a week or 2 weeks. And I'm actually not surprised, because we have a lot of athletes in Special Olympics, Missouri, let alone the entire Special Olympics in the world. So I'm actually really glad, because the reason why we went to Indiana for Alps U is because the guy in charge of the Special Olympics public relations, the PR guy, he wanted to see if we could have an Alps U here in Missouri. And as of last fall, we do, because we just had our first university last year, which is pretty cool. We went to Indiana last year during the spring, and then we had our own Alps U semester in the fall the same year. And up right now, like I think we just got done with the deadline for athletes and other people to register for the spring semester of this year. I was, however, late on that. I can't register now because today was the deadline to register. So not only am I filling out an extension to get my homework done, because I didn't get all my homework done to complete the first portion of my degree. Because I'm still, with being a representative, that kind of helps me with the start of the degree, because the degree I chose is Global Messenger, which is basically another term for representative. I get to do speeches and I get to do interviews. Of course, I can be either on the receiving end or the interviewer part, but to actually get the interview part completed in the homework, I have to be the interviewee, the receiving end, which is unfortunate, really unfortunate, because I don't have very many connections outside of Special Olympics, because I'm trying really hard to get my own connections, because I know I'm going to need those connections for when I get my books published and all that jazz. So I'm trying really hard not to use my Special Olympics connections, because if I keep depending on them, then I won't be able to depend on myself when I need to get my books published and all that stuff. I won't be ready to do that by myself. And I want to prepare myself for when I need to be by myself. It's really hard to do that, though, when you don't have very many connections. So fortunately, my dad is actually helping me out with that. He's going to try to get me to have an interview or two, to have an interview or even give a speech on a local radio station, which is super awesome. I'm super psyched about that. And I hope he remembers that. If not, I hope you are listening, Father, because I need to get that done. So hopefully this extension form that I'm filling out, hopefully they will accept that, knowing the situation that I'm in. I don't even want to talk about the situation I'm in. It's just way too personal. So anyways, you guys are not tuning in to listen to me brag and vent. Today is Friday. I get to read to you guys of the book that I've been reading for the past few weeks. Ah! All right, so the book that I've been reading is called, The Royal Conspiracy. It is actually one of my favorite books that I've written. And so I'm going to go ahead and read the new description I've written for it for this particular reading session. The entire reading session while I'm reading this book to you guys. And remember, I'm going to be reading it anyway, so here we go. Inspired by several Prince and Pauper films, this story tells of two smart women. The adopted heiress learned to survive. The princess had a fashion designer for a father figure. Though they led separate lives in different worlds, the two held so much in common. They would have grown their lives apart, but fate decreed they wouldn't. The Royal Conspiracy. Dun-dun-dun-dun. I did not get a chance to go over it because I was trying to get a lot of stuff done before the show, and it did not go well. So where did we try to remember where we started last time? Last Friday, let's see what did happen. Hang on, I want to make sure that I'm on time with this. How much talking time do I have left? I don't have very much time, actually. I probably should start talking soon, or start reading soon, I should say. So let me just go ahead and be brief. I'm going to try to be as brief as I can, although I know I'm not going to. So let's see. Oh, that's right. The nurse, Princess Moira's nursemaid, finds out about the princess's generation identical, which happens to be Tanaski, an heiress of a tribe. Sorry. Even with my humidifier on, the air is pretty thin for me. Sorry. The princess and her nursemaid walked back to the palace, walked back to the palace, and they are kind of, awkward. And the princess ends up seeing her mom in the throne room, which surprises her considering how sick her mom is. And they talk about Tanaski, briefly spoke about Tanaski and how her dad knows about her herbal medicines, or whichever way you want to say it. And and let's see. Oh, that's right. After that, I switch back to the princess and Mr. Thomason, because they switched. They haven't done that yet. Excuse me. The queen, her mom finally tells her that it's time for her to marry, which pretty much puts Mosey back in a big slump. Like, she doesn't want that happening, because if that happens, she won't be able to go on walks whenever she wants. She won't be able to do anything in the castle without permission from whoever is going to be her husband. So she decides to come up with a plan to meet Mr. Tumison and her generation identical. But no one really knows that they know each other. So when he finds out that the two have already met, he pretty much faints, and the two talk, and the two friends talk about what they want, in kind of what they want in life. And Moira, or Mosey, as her nickname is, suggests switching places. And Danesky is kind of horrified at the thought, but she knows how much of an opportunity it is, because she's always wanted to be in the palace, because she's lived in this city, in this kingdom, for like 3 years, since she's been always wondering. And so they do end up switching. And Mr. Thomas, blah, 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 blah. I'm stuttering my words, just because I know how little time I have left to talk. And Mr. Tumison finds out because he knows about the birthmarks they have. Tanaski has a bell, and the princess has a horse. And it's their birthmarks are in the same spot, too. It's like right behind their right ear. And she is kind of panicking that Mr. Tumison is kind of panicking. And we're pretty much at the point where he wants her to switch back. He is furious that the two switched, and he just doesn't really know what to do. So, and he's trying to reason with her to switch back. I'm sorry, guys. Again, my throat is just really dry. I don't know what's going on. I think it's partly because I almost missed my chance of starting the show on time. Sorry, hang on. Okay. Hopefully that was faint enough. Ow. What the heck? I can't believe it's still there. Okay. Anyways, let's go ahead and start. You and she have known each other for less than a day. What gives you the right to do this? I could be put in the cells, or worse. Your Highness, you have to go back. She looked at him with wide eyes.
No, I'm not ready to go back. Please, let me stay. She and I are meeting here in 2 days.
As the awkward silence prolonged, Mr. Tumison fumed and thought. He didn't understand why they did what they did. He had to think. While she waited, Mosey walked to a wall and leaned on it. She was so happy to be to do improper things without being corrected. Was she and the fashion designer? Oh, sorry. She and the fashion designer didn't hear the wallpaper ripping as that part of the wall gave way. The wall turned, and Mosey fell to the floor with a yelp. Mr. Tumison gasped when he turned. They both looked at the wall with startled expressions. Princess Moira stood and walked in to glance around. She whispered in astonishment,
"This looks incredible."
Incredible? I think I'm using the wrong accent for the princess. She discovered it was a small room, no exit anywhere. It seemed somewhat familiar. Mosey tried to recall what she learned from her history lessons. Mr. Tumison came in.
"It's true," she whispered.
"What is?" She turned to him and raised her brows.
"There used to be stories about people hiding their families from invaders. These invaders were ruthless. They would kill anyone on sight."
She touched one of the secret walls.
"I've always wondered how many of these houses still stood from that time."
Exactly when did this happen?" he wondered worriedly. She racked her brain for more details. She couldn't remember. Mosey rubbed her forehead. Whoops, what's going on here?
Think, Mosey, think,"
she mumbled. It suddenly, it popped in her mind. Her eyes widened. It was when my great-great-grandfather ruled. Goodness, that has to be at least 200 years ago.
Jeez, I knew the house was old, but not that old.
The fashion designer whistled. He couldn't imagine being held up in there for a long period of time. He shuddered at the thought.
This may come in handy.
Mr. Tumerson stared at her in shock. She saw his face and wondered what crossed his mind.
You're not thinking of putting me in there, are you?
No!
She cried, giving him a look of horror.
I would never!
She sighed in frustration. I'm saying it could help in case of an emergency. She rolled her eyes. He eyed her. Mr. Tumerson didn't realize how well she was doing on being civil than a princess until a moment later. He kind of liked it.
I must say, coming through the market once a month, it has made you observant. You are very casual at what you are doing.
She smiled.
Thank you.
Moira sighed.
It is so nice to be doing non-princess-like behavior. No one to critique on what I'm doing wrong. No one to tell me what I should do.
Mr. Tumerson cocked his head as he recalled what she said just at that moment. He winced and left the secret room. After she closed the room's entrance, Mosey followed. Let me fix something here.
Well, if you ought to take Tanaski's place, you are in quite a shock. She was my fitting model. You'll find out what kind of loss she has.
That reminds me, you'll have to take her place as my fitting model.
I suppose that makes sense.
Good, then come with me. I need that figure of yours.
They left Tanaski's room. At that moment, Tanaski explored the palace. She didn't realize how big it was on the inside. The details amazed her. Everything had to be right to a T. At some point, a royal guard was following her. She didn't notice until a minute later. She remembered the way Princess Moira walked and stepped around. She copied those moves.
Yes?
Your Highness, the Queen wishes to speak to you.
Where is she?
She is in her room. As usual, Your Highness?
Of course. Thank you.
She caught herself before using fillers.
You may disperse.
The cart rolled his eyes and walked off. She sighed nervously as she looked around. Now,
where am I?
She whispered. Tanaski saw a window headed to it and looked out.
If that's the city, and behind me is her portrait, then...
She tried to recall what Mosey told her. She then walked to her left.
I shouldn't be too far from her room.
It took her 5 minutes to find the bedroom.
Goodness, I was incorrect.
Tanaski knocked on the door. She checked her dress and ocean blue cloak. She and the princess decided it would be better the two cloaks stay with their roles. After all, they have to pretend they're someone else. He then realized her hairstyle was completely wrong. She quickly tried to fix it when she heard the okay from the queen. Tanaski cleared her throat once and then opened the bedroom door.
Hello, my Moira,
she said softly. Mosey's mother laid across her bed. Standing alongside was Teacher McAllister. That made Tanaski panic. She didn't want him to see her. She gulped as silent as she could. Tanaski shivered.
Come over, my daughter. I want you to meet Teacher. You spoke of him, remember? I remember,
she replied softly.
She walked to
the opposite side of her bed. She avoided eye contact with him, keeping her birthmark hidden from him. Tanasky knew if he saw that, he would go ballistic and blow her cover. She didn't want to go back yet.
Moira, say hi to Mr. McAllister. He will be coming often to check the results of his medicine. Hello, Mr. McAllister,
she greeted, curtsying and still avoiding eye contact. Queen Veronica noticed that. She gently shook her head.
My Moira, be polite. Look at him, please.
Goosebumps appeared on Tanasky's arms. Sorry, everyone. She turned her head to him as slow as she could. She looked him in the eyes. His reaction was much like Mr. Thomason's when he found Princess Moira in Tanasky's room. He looked mortified.
Goodness gracious!
The queen slightly jumped at his cry. She turned to him with wide, startled eyes.
What is the matter, Teter?
Teter collected himself and sighed. He bowed to them.
I'm sorry, Your Majesties. I must go.
Sorry, I forgot what accent I gave him. What was it?
I'm sorry, Your Majesties. I must go,
he said as calmly as he could. As he spoke, he shook his head. He then left the bedroom. She knew she shouldn't, but Tanasky couldn't let her father leave like that. She looked at the queen and smiled faintly.
Excuse me, mother. I shall be back soon.
Tanasky stepped around and hastened out of the room. She saw him hurrying out of the palace. While she caught up to him, she kept an eye on her wording.
Mr. McAllister! Mr. McAllister! I am talking to you, sir. Stop!
As he halted, he grunted.
Mr. McAllister, why did you walk away?
You look exactly like my daughter,
he whispered hoarsely.
I should have known the moment you walked in, even when you got those goosebumps. You are Tanasky.
He headed to the palace doors. Tanasky sighed through her nose.
Mr. McAllister, do not walk away from me.
She had to think. She had to hurry.
Of course. Guards, stop him.
4 men rushed after him. 2 blocked his path. As the others grabbed his arms, he grunted again. She walked up to his face.
I thought I could be brief, but you leave me no choice. Follow me.
She stepped around to turn. From where they stood, she remembered which way to go for the throne room.
The guards in the back, make sure no one bothers us, not even my mother, the queen.
The guards looked at her funny. She sighed, figuring that's what they did. Tanasky didn't bother to step around yet.
Your Highness?
They said simultaneously.
I know what I said. Now do it.
The 2 guards obeyed. The guards holding her father stayed. She stepped around to turn. Teacher was amazed at the stern and fierce glare she gave. She let her head turn left to look at the guards.
The 2 of you may go.
They bowed and left the throne room. Teacher's eyes were wide as his view landed on her birthmark. Tanasky waited until they were gone. She then looked at him.
I can't believe you made me do that.
Tanasky, is that really you?
I have the bell. She has a horse.
She pointed to her birthmark. Tanasky kept her eyes on him. He looked as if he was about to faint.
Please, compose yourself.
He shook his head, causing his nerves to calm down. Guys, I know that her adopted father is supposed to have an accent, but I can't for the life of me remember which one it is, so I'm just using my normal voice.
I will explain later.
Oh, whoops. He shook his head, causing his nerves to calm down. I don't understand. You switched?
I will explain, but it has to be later.
She paused for a brief moment.
You can't tell anyone. Princess Moira and I have an agreement. We want to explore.
Do you know how irresponsible this is? You don't know real life. You don't live like this. Come home, Tanaski.
I'd do that and both of our covers are blown. I can't, Father.
Why are you doing this? It's crazy. You could be thrown in the cells. Hang on, guys. Trying to make sure how much time I have left. Okay.
She agreed to do this. I want to at least see how she lives. Figure out why she wants...
She sighed.
Please, Toptope, you can't tell anyone, not even her. You and I do not know how she'll react. If she finds out, you know.
He thought while she continued speaking.
We promised each other not to tell anyone unless they figured out we're not who we really are. We're switching on Wednesday evening anyways. Please, Dad, will you promise not to tell anyone?
It stayed silent for a while. This is a bad idea. You're right, though. And I actually had to stop there. Oh, man. I was so close to where I had planned on stopping. All right. Well, I actually got to get going. Oh, man. I wish I could understand what's in my throat. I hope you all have a great morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbit saying goodbye with Nobody Knows by Kate Alexa. Bye, everyone.